The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
All right, welcome into the Arrowhead Addict Podcast. Patrick Allen here with you, as always, on a nice Thursday evening here in the Chiefs Kingdom. Got an absolutely packed show for you today. I'm super jacked up about this one. Been working on it all week. First up, in just a little bit, we're going to have a Canadian artist on the show. Her name is Samantha Woge. You can follow her on Twitter. Let me pull this up here. At Samantha Woge Art. That's like Woge, like the NBA Woge, W-O-J. I came across her work the other day on Twitter, last week. And I saw this incredible painting that she did of Patrick Mahomes. And she did it with a football, with the end of a football. That's how she painted the picture. It's absolutely incredible. She's got a lot of other great work, some other Chiefs work, something about, she's got a Jason Kelce piece. Really, really cool. I'm really excited to talk to her about her process, her artistry. And then after that, my guy, Price Carter, fan-sided and Arrowhead Addicts draft expert, is he's going to come on and we are going to reveal his latest 7-round Chiefs mock draft. If you've been reading Arrowhead Addict, you've been over at the arrowheadaddict.com, you see Price's big board there right on the website, right smack in the middle. Big, beautiful graphic there. If you haven't, check that out. He's been on the show a couple of times, knows this stuff, knows about all these prospects. He's going to get you educated on who he thinks the Chiefs should take, could take in his latest mock draft. So I'm really excited to go through all 7 rounds of that with him. Before we get to all of that, got to let you know that DraftKings is offering a fantastic sign-up bonus for new users. New customers can place a $5 first bet on any sport to instantly claim $150 in bonus bets when you sign up with our code. You got to use our code, Arrowhead. The best part is that you'll receive your rewards even if your first bet loses. Big games this weekend that you might want to bet on. Using our code Arrowhead not only gets you these bonuses, but it also directly supports our podcast. If you've been considering signing up for DraftKings, make sure to use the code Arrowhead to maximize your first bets. This offer is only available to new customers who are 21 and older and physically present in a legal gambling state. Please remember to always gamble responsibly. Check out the episode description for the full terms to see if you qualify. Thank you for supporting us. A couple of news items to get to before we get to Samantha. In case you haven't been, you know, maybe you've been enjoying your spring. I haven't. It was snowing here in Chicago yesterday and it's raining here today. So a couple things happened. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is back with the Chiefs on a 1-year deal. Let me know in the chat, sound off. How do you guys feel about Clyde coming back? Obviously, the Chiefs needed some veteran depth behind Isaiah Pacheco. Free agency has been open for a little while now, and it didn't seem like teams were falling all over themselves to sign Clyde. I mean, I'm good with the signing myself. I think he ran well for the Chiefs last year in very limited action. I think he was used just about the right amount. And he's still a young running back, so he's still got fresh legs. I know he was disappointing as a first-round draft pick, but I see no reason why to not bring him back. He knows the offensive system. He's a pretty willing blocker, and he looked like he'd added a few pounds, so he was a little bit more powerful last year. I'm good with it. I'm excited. Is it, you know, a game changer for the Chiefs? No. But he knows the offense. He knows the protections. He's a veteran guy. There are some other people floating around out there. Another news item here. Kind of the same day that we found out that they were bringing back CEH, the Chiefs hosted a former Ohio State running back and former, I think he was a second round pick of the Baltimore Ravens, J.K. Dobbins. Excuse me. So Dobbins is an incredibly talented back. You guys know me. You see the Ohio State helmet over my shoulder here. I watched his whole career at Ohio State. He's an incredibly dynamic running back. He had his moments with Baltimore, but has just had absolutely horrendous injury luck. Funny enough, Hollywood Brown was out on Twitter and he was recruiting J.K. Dobbins and said, I think he said, think diamonds, right? Which is what we know what Andy Reid said to Hollywood Brown to convince him to come to Kansas City, which is think about winning a championship. That's what we do here. It's pretty much all they do in Kansas City these days. So that tweet was sent out and it was liked by J.K. Dobbins. Now, J.K. Dobbins left Kansas City. He didn't sign a contract. He may just be keeping his options open right now. And of course, the Chiefs signed Clyde. Dobbins tore his, I believe it was his Achilles last year at the very beginning of the season. So I'm not exactly sure where he's at in his rehab, but I'd be okay with this signing if the Chiefs think his medicals look good. He's, high. It's a very Brett Veach move, right? High upside, no downside. He's not going to command any kind of crazy salary because of the injuries that he's had. What J.K. Dobbins might be doing right now is just kind of doing a little tour, seeing who's interested, seeing where he might have a chance to revive his career. If he's able to get and stay healthy, he's probably only going to get a one-year deal from a team. There's no reason for him to rush right now. He's still rehabbing. It's still really early. Does he come back maybe to Kansas City as we get later in the summer? Very possible. By the way, if you're watching on YouTube, do me a favor. Hit that thumbs up button and like this video so we can get some more Chiefs fans in here watching. And shout out to all of our members out there who are watching. I see Daniel Akers was first with the comment. Appreciate you, Daniel. Let's get this thing rocking and rolling. Okay, a couple other news items. The Chiefs have a backup quarterback. They have signed Carson Wentz. I like this move. Carson Wentz, I believe he's about 30 now. Wasn't always the most popular locker room guy when he was in Philly and some other places. He's bounced around a little bit, has some issues with turnovers, but he's physically an extremely talented quarterback. And when he's playing at the top of his game, can be a top quarterback in the NFL, but he's not consistent. This has been the problem with him. Again, some locker room issues that I read about in Philadelphia. I don't think that's going to be a problem in Kansas City with the championship culture that they have. Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Chris Jones, all the veterans. But I like the move on a couple of different levels. One, because we know Andy Reid's really tremendous and great with quarterbacks. Two, it gets them another veteran backup. But he's not quite as old as some of the guys. No offense to Chad Henne and Blaine Gabbert, but he's not as old as some of these guys that we've had before. Still a little bit younger. Josh Clayton says he's better than Gabbert. I agree. So I like this signing. I think it's a good signing. We'll see how it works out. Obviously, nobody wants to see him ever actually play for the Chiefs, but should he have to come in spot duty, he's capable, especially if Andy Reid can coach him up a little bit and maybe he's matured a little bit with the locker room stuff. So I'm good with that. Okay, last quick thing, and we're going to get to Samantha. I haven't had a chance to talk to you guys about this Rashee Rice crap. What a nightmare. Like, just what an absolute nightmare disaster for the Chiefs. Maybe I'll get into it a little bit later with Price as well before we get to the mock draft, but it's just a shame. Just really poor judgment by Rashee. We don't know all the details, but it has come out now, I believe, today. Excuse me, that his lawyer said he was, in fact, driving one of the cars. You've probably seen the video of the accident. Look, man, he's very, very lucky that nobody was seriously hurt or killed in this drag racing incident. I don't know all the details. I don't know why they left the scene. That also compounded the really, really poor judgment on his part. How is this going to affect him? How's it going to affect the Chiefs? I don't know. There's a whole legal side of things. I'm not a lawyer. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if it's going to be considered a felony. All I know is he's a young man. He plays for the Chiefs. We want him to do well. We want the Chiefs to do well. And I just hope that he, whatever the punishment he gets from this situation, he's getting off easy. Because, you know, we saw what happened in Las Vegas with Henry Ruggs, who was out driving his insanely expensive sports car at speeds over 100 miles per hour. I mean, when you drive that fast, you're turning your car into a missile, essentially. And Henry Ruggs killed a woman. He killed her and her dog. She burned alive. It was horrible, horrible. Every time I think about it, the hair on the back of my neck stands up. It's absolutely terrible. And when you're selfish and reckless, like Rashee Rice and his friends were, out on the highway where people are driving with their kids in the car, it's just incredibly selfish. And it could not only ruin the lives of other people, it could ruin your life. So I hope Rashee Rice takes a hard look in the mirror and says, I'm young, I'm an idiot, and I am really, really lucky that my entire life is not destroyed by this situation. And I am going to, whatever it is, make better decisions, get better friends, understand the blessings that I have in being a star wide receiver for the Super Bowl champions, and never do something so stupid again. And that's, again, whatever punishment he gets from the legal side of things, from the Chiefs, from the NFL, he's getting off easy compared to what could have happened. And thankfully, everybody is okay.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
All right, those are the news items. So let's bring in our guest today, Samantha Woge, Canadian artist. Samantha, how are you doing? Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing really well, actually. I am, my wife is pregnant. We're having a baby in about 8 weeks. So I'm just like, I'm like a little stressed and I'm over the moon. I'm just like so excited. I'm going to be going on paternity leave soon and all that stuff. So I'm just like, I'm on cloud nine right now. Like I couldn't be happier about what's happening in my life and how excited I am to meet my son. So yes, I'm doing very well, despite the Chicago weather.
The snow is here too. I was, you know, like we have the whole snowstorm going on. So I feel you right now.
So whereabouts are you in Canada?
I'm near Ottawa. So I'm in a place called Embrun, which I didn't know until I moved here. So I say Ottawa because geographically, Canada, if it counts.
So you moved there. So are you a Canadian? Did you come from somewhere else in Canada?
So I moved from Montreal. I was a Quebecer. So I moved from Quebec to Ontario.
Gotcha. So born and raised Canadian. So much, much more polite than your American counterparts, I imagine.
Maybe. You know, we have our own ways of communicating.
Sure. We all have some stereotypes to deal with, unfortunately. So I'm just so interested to talk to you. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Now, I like I said at the top of the show, I came across somebody was just tweeting about a painting that you had done of Patrick Mahomes with the end of a football. And I was like, wow, this is really cool. There it is. Producer Richard hooking me up. Putting it up on the page. So this is the one I think I came across. It's absolutely beautiful. And I think really, evocative. I'm not like a big art guy. I can't draw a straight line with a ruler myself. So like, I really admire people like you, but can you just talk to me a little bit about this piece and what inspired you to do it?
So, football was happening and I hadn't painted anybody in a while with a football. And I knew from last season that I had a lot of like Chiefs fans that liked my past art. And I was like, you know what? Like, I have a lot of Chiefs fans that follow me on Twitter. So I was like, I should do a player on their team. I already did Kelsey with his Kelsey brothers. So I was like, I'm going to do somebody else. And I knew Mahomes was kind of doing either breaking records or kind of doing a lot in the sport. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to paint him kind of to celebrate all that he's brought to the game. So that was kind of, I knew I wanted to paint him one way or another. And then I had like a black foam core that I had at home that I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do with it. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to try to paint him on a black background. And I don't know how it's going to turn out because honestly, I've never painted on a black background before. That was kind of my first time testing it out. So I was like, I'm going to test it with him, see how it turns out. And if it fails, like nobody's going to see this but me in my basement. And then it came out like pretty well. I was actually pretty surprised because I generally didn't know what it would look like.
Really cool. I think it really pops. Like I like the black background, the Chiefs, their colors, the white and the red and the gold, like pop off the page really nicely. So, well, let's back up a little bit. Have you always been a painter or do you like, and how did your love of art begin in the first place?
So, I mean, I've been painting. I did regular painting when I was younger. So I started off painting when my sister's friend's mom wanted to do a class in my elementary school. And my mom said, can you just go to it so that she has one student show up to the after school art class? And I was like, sure. Cause all I did was play sports. Like I played sports my whole life. So like I was somebody who just did sports. So I went to it. I was like, okay, I'll try this like art class. And I kind of loved it. Like I caught the bug that moment and I just wanted to take every kind of art course I could find. So that really got me into the art world. So I've always done art. Not this style. This style started during the pandemic.
And so has it always just been painting or is it drawing? Do you work in any other mediums? Like, do you do like clay, it's sculpting, anything like that?
I used to draw. I used to like draw on Starbucks cups because there used to be a space. So when I was in school, I would draw like portraits on the cups when I was bored before classes. But it's only painting I do nowadays. Like I've gone full fledged just kind of paint and explore what I could do with equipment.
Great. So you're obviously a big sports fan. You played sports, and you found kind of this niche, like painting athletes. When did your love of sports begin?
I mean, I've been playing sports since I was five years old, maybe. I'd say, yeah, since then I played soccer for like 16 years. So yeah. So I was always constantly exploring my love and community of being around people and that environment.
Got it. Okay. So I saw on your website, which by the way, if you want to see some of Samantha's art, if you want to buy some of Samantha's art, I think some of it's for sale, go to www.samanthawojart.com. Again, that's Woj, like NBA reporter Woj. I saw you collaborated with you've done a lot of collaborations. You mm-hmm. collaborated with the Ottawa Senators to do two live paintings. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
So I did, yeah. So that I've been like back to back some paintings. So I did, well, I did one live for the Raptors. And then right after I went to the Senators to do a live during their gala. So they had a gala to raise money for their foundation to support children, I believe, playing sports and getting sports equipment and also individuals who are in the hospital. So I had somebody contact me from the Senators being like, hey, would you mind painting live during the gala and we'll auction it off. And I was like, sure, that sounds like fun. So I showed up and I painted live and I used any equipment that they gave me. And it was honestly a blast. But the only difficulty that I had, I'd say, with the Senators is the light was red. So my whole video is like with red lights because I couldn't see my canvas. So to this day, I have not seen it outside of the red light. So it looked okay in the red light, but yeah.
Yeah, they'll have to let you swing back by and take a look. You're watching the Arrowhead Addict podcast here on YouTube. If you can do us a favor, hit that like button. We're here with Canadian artist Samantha Woj talking to us about her really incredible art that she creates in a really incredible way. I wanted to also ask you about your work with the Calgary Special Olympics, Fansided, Arrowhead Addicts, parent company. We also partner with Special Olympics here in the United States. Last 2 years, we've done unified reporting at the Super Bowl. What did you do with Special Olympics?
So that was one of my first, I think, auctions I ever did. And it was a collaboration auction. So it was just my artworks that we were putting up. I think it put 6 or 8. It's been about a year to 2 years, I think. I can't remember. And we put them up and I was like, hey, if you buy this painting, all proceeds are going to go to the Special Olympics Calgary. And we sold them all. And I think it was in two, three grand we were able to raise for the Special Olympics, because I just, like I said, I love sports and I love supporting people who want to give back to anybody who wants to play and who wants to get active. So to have done that collaboration, like, I meant the world. So I even got to see like videos of people being at their gala, seeing the painting live, and seeing the hockey player I did paint give me a signed hockey puck. So I still have the hockey puck that he signed me. So yeah, that was really cool. It was a great experience.
It is. We love working with Special Olympics, and it's such a great organization. So obviously, you know, you painted the tremendous picture of Patrick Mahomes using a football. You've done work with, I read on your website, hockey pucks, baseballs, basketballs, even baseball bats, I think. What's the hardest piece of equipment to paint with, and which is the easiest?
So yeah, I know that question, it's so hard to answer because I find every equipment has its challenges. I'd say the hardest one would be I did it only once and I'm never doing it again, was a ski boot. It was just so heavy. And I underestimated how long I'd have to hold it up and paint with it. And I think in the video, I sat down like 3 times because I was like, I can't, my arms are exhausted from trying to hit it against the paper when I was doing it. So I'd say, yeah, ski boot.
Ski boot. Did I see you've painted something with like swimming goggles?
Yeah. That one's long. That's a long process. I'd say that would be one of the smallest equipments I've used to do a full painting. It was, I used every bit, but it was a huge, it was like 20, 30 by 40. And it was huge. And I remember being like, I wish it was like a basketball at this moment, or like something big so that I can just fill the space up because it was so small.
All right. So, you also, you painted this incredible image of Jason Kelce, the iconic image of him celebrating shirtless and drinking a beer, cheering on his brother Travis from the Chiefs. And then the two brothers talked about your work on their show, the New Heights podcast. How cool was it to see that? And did you hear directly from the Kelce brothers?
No, so I haven't heard back from them. But yeah, that was honestly, I wasn't sure if they would post it because they originally posted one painting of mine from their last podcast. I was like, oh, I'm not going to make it. There's no way I'm not going to make it with this one, because I was like, I made it once. Like, that's testing my luck of them knowing that I exist in the art world. So when they shared it, I was watching that podcast. I was like, wait a minute, I'm in the video. Like, my artwork is in the video. So it was honestly an unreal experience. And just to see that people really enjoyed it, and they enjoyed it, I was like, oh my gosh, like more of my art, which is beyond.
And I love that one. It's really incredible. Is it still for sale on your website? Yeah, I could, like, I'm not gonna lie to you. I looked at it this morning and I had like a long, hard think about buying it. And then I was like, Patrick, you have got to buy a stroller. And if you want to be in this kid's life and not be divorced, you probably should pump the brakes. But you guys go to Samantha's website and check out her art. She's got, there's other really great, paintings of all these different athletes. Is really cool stuff. A lot of it's for sale. It's not all like really expensive. Like I sent your paintings of Aaron Judge to some Yankees fans I know, because there's some really, like, she's got prints. Like, it's, you know, it's, it's, if you like sports and you like art and you want to have something like really unique, it's a great way to support an artist, but also have something really unique in your home. Samantha, I want to ask you, you painted a ton of athletes and you have also done some celebrities. I saw you did like Jason Sudeikis, I think, Taylor Swift. Have you ever had any of the athletes or celebrities that you've painted reach out to you and say that they've seen your work?
So, I mean, I've had a lot of them post it. I've had the people that I've – like bought their own artworks. I'd say were from the Olympics. So yeah. I was painting Olympian. When I first started off, I started painting just the Olympians during the Olympics because, I mean, I only painted Canadians. I think I painted a few Americans, not many, because I was like, I can't in good conscience paint an American while the Canadians are competing. But I had two or three. I had one of them that I met in person. I'm not going to lie, it's really weird meeting somebody. I stared at their face for hours because these paintings sometimes take like hours, like 2, 3, 4 hours, even 8 maybe hours sometimes. So like meeting somebody in person, I was like, oh my goodness, like I've stared at your face so long that I'm meeting you. Like I feel like I've known you in a weird way.
Sure.
The Olympians would be, yeah.
What's your favorite piece you've ever painted?
My favorite piece, man. I don't know which one's my favorite. I mean, I really like that Kelsey one. I'm not going to lie. That one, I think I put it higher because I do like that Kelsey because it's again, black canvas. That was the first canvas, black canvas that I painted in a night was that one. What other one do I like? Oh, man. No, yeah. No, I think Jason Sudeikis. Yeah. I'd say like that Kelsey one is probably like right now. Oh no, Bo Bichette and Vladdy Guerrero. So Junior. So if you watch baseball, I did Vladdy Junior and Bo Bichette, and he's pouring water onto Bo Bichette, those cans.
Yeah.
And it's a Canadian. It's, I don't know if it's just a Leafs thing, not Leafs. Sorry. A Blue Jays thing, but they pour water. Vladdy pours water always onto somebody else. So I love those moments at the end of a win. He does it after every win, home game. So that was a painting. I was like, got watered. It looked nice. And I saw the pouring motion. So that'd probably be my favorite.
Those sort of hijinks, I see them all over American sports. They're doing them in NBA games. You're trying to do the post game interview and then your teammates come with the water bottles. That's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. I'm stupid. I didn't send it to Richard, but I saw your piece of Kobe Bryant, and I thought that one was really, really fantastic. Richard, do we have any more that we haven't put up yet, so we can show off a little bit more of Samantha's art, or is that it? Oh, this one. So is this one still for sale? This is no. Kelsey Mahomes, right?
Yeah, that one was sold. So that was a commission that I got to do, and I got to try to see if – I didn't even know if it was going to be possible. I had no idea how it would turn out. But, yeah, that was a fun commission I got to do.
That one is – I love that one. I think it's really cool. I love how it's like the paint is like coming off the KC. And that's another thing, you guys, if you're watching out here and you want a commission, reach out to Samantha if you've got something that you would like to have done. That's a really cool opportunity as well. Was that everything, Richard? Was that all of our all the links I sent you? Oh no, this one. Oh, that one's really cool.
So that was the one on their first podcast. That's the one they shared.
I love it. Super Bowl logo on the background. That's a really fun one too. These are fantastic, Samantha. I really admire your work. I think it's absolutely cool. I think it's so unbelievable that you found this like really cool way outside of just like using the standard paintbrush to create art and to take the tools that these athletes use and then use those in a way to sort of immortalize them or moments in time through art. I just think is super rad, and what a cool idea.
Thank you. Thank you so much. That means a lot. Cause honestly, thank you.
Yeah. And listen, keep in touch. We follow each other on Twitter now. If you are doing any more Chiefs work, shoot me a DM. We'd love to promote it on the show, show it off to people. Hopefully help you make some sales. Cause I know how much our listeners love their Kansas City Chiefs. Love their Chiefs. The guys are trying to get you to give me to draw me a tattoo. I'll fill you in on that one later.
No, like one thing, like I get tattoos. I don't, there's no, not.
You don't want to have to have somebody make it permanent.
Oh man. Like for me, like me to design like a tattoo, you mean?
Yeah.
No, like I'd be scared to like ruin the design for somebody or like, unless you really like it, then I'm like, go ahead and get a professional. Yeah. But
I see some of these, guys, like people, like they go up to famous people and they're like, sign my arm. And then I'm going to go to the tattoo parlor. And I have terrible handwriting, and look, I'm not famous enough that God forbid anybody would want to tattoo anything I wrote or my name on them. But like, I would be too much pressure for me to like try to make it look good.
Right?
Yeah.
I'd be so nervous. Because I was like, it's going to be permanently on someone's body. That was like, I'd be too nervous to make like a mess up of some kind.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, Samantha, thank you so much for coming on the show. Guys, a link is in the description to Samantha's website. As I mentioned, you can follow her on Twitter as well. All the information in the description. Please do so. Please support her work. And Samantha, thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. Have a wonderful evening. Thank you.
Good luck with everything. Bye.
Cheers. Samantha Woge, a Canadian artist. Check out her website. Like I said, the link's in the description. You guys saw the art. Super, super cool. Woo's Guy 9 said, did you show the Jason Kelsey chugging the beer one? Yeah, we did. We did. That one's really great. Some really great pop in some of these, in these pieces that she does. And you guys, you know, like, culture yourselves up a little bit, you know? Go get some. We spend all these monies on jerseys and, you know, go to the bar of beers and stuff like that. You wanna class up your fan cave a little bit with some original art or a one of one of the Chiefs that nobody else has. I think it's a really cool opportunity. There's a lot of really great artists out there doing work on the Chiefs. So I was really excited to have Samantha on to show off her stuff. Really great, and thank you guys for supporting her. All right. It's time for more Chiefs talk. Let's get our guy in here, Price Carter from arrowheadag.com. Price, what's going on, man? Good to see you, brother.
Hey, it's good to see you too. Glad to be back.
Are you gonna buy one of those paintings?
Those are pretty awesome. Right now, I am stay-at-home dad right now with paternity leave. My wife is going to be home in like 3 or 4 minutes. So I think I've got someone who's going to have to join me here for real quick. But the painting's really cool. I thought that the way she did them was really unique too. You know, there's so many really good ones out there right now. So let me go grab her real quick. But the paintings are awesome.
Go get her. I want to see. We're having an Arrowhead Addict debut here. Price's daughter is going to be joining us, which is, this is a longstanding tradition on the Arrowhead Addict podcast, by the way. You know, Verderam's daughters made multiple appearances on the show. And now we're going to have a really, really small child. Oh, beautiful, man. What, remind me her name again?
It's Holland. Committed podcasting here.
Holland.
Yes.
That's a really pretty name.
Yeah. It's, we did it after there's a poem. So not to get too into my own personal life, but my son had some pretty serious medical issues when he was born. And there's a poem talking about planning on landing in Italy. And then you end up landing in Holland. You're like, oh, well, I didn't want to go to Italy, or I want to go Holland. I want to go to Italy. But then you realize, oh, there's a lot of beauty here in Holland, and kind of accepting the journey type of thing. And that's why we decided to name her Holland after that poem.
That's a great story. I love it. Congratulations again. And you're setting a standard here that I am going to have, you know, if the guys want me to come back on the podcast while I'm on, you know, paternity leave, and they're like, you know, I can't be like, guys, I got a newborn at home, I can't podcast with a newborn. They're going to be like, well, Price did it.
Yeah. Well, one thing you will come to learn about having kids is that the plan is rarely the plan. So my wife normally gets home around this time. She got hung up on something real quick, but she should be home soon. But she's a great baby. So
no worries. I'm excited to see what Holland thinks of your.
Oh, she knows her prospects. She's been sitting here watching. Yeah.
Okay.
She's been watching.
I want to hear her draft grades after we reveal each pick. So in just a sec, we're going to get to Price's 7-round Chiefs mock draft. I'm super jacked up to reveal this to you guys. We're going to go pick by pick. But first, I want to just get your take on this whole Rashee Rice thing, because we haven't. The other guys have had shows, but I haven't had it since it happened on Easter. It was just sort of like really obnoxious trying to figure out, like, was it even him? Was he there? You know, all the speculation. And then it turns out, unfortunately, that he was involved. Just wanted to get your thoughts on this kind of whole fiasco here.
Yeah. I mean, I think at first you just want to focus on the people involved. Just, you know, we're sitting here talking about having kids and being dads. Just imagine us driving down the road and some rich punk kid did this. Like, we'd be furious, right?
Yeah.
So it's hard because he does wear red and gold, and he's, you know, we've seen him win the Super Bowl here in Kansas City, that we're tend to be a little biased towards him. But at the end of the day, he did something really dangerous that, like, really could have hurt a lot of people, right? Yeah. And the difference between him and Henry Ruggs, there are some big differences. And I know a lot of people have compared it to that situation. And yes, those outcomes could have been the same. I've never seen any number about how fast he was going or not going. He was obviously driving recklessly. But at the end of the day, what happened is what happened. And, it, you know, as you alluded to, his lawyer did a press conference today, admitted that he was driving one of the vehicles. Both vehicles were in his name one way or another. I tweeted out in October, I met with an NFL scout. I did a podcast with him, a former NFL scout, back when I was writing at another site. I didn't feel concerned to it or what it was. Also, request. So, news. And honestly, it's unfortunate. But I think at this point now, you just look at it as he's going to miss some time. Not sure how much time. We have quite a few legal people in the Chiefs community. It sounds like, you know, one thing to consider here is what happened is what happened. So the jury, the judge, those people, they're not going to look at this and say, well, you could have killed people. We're going to charge you like you could have, because he didn't. He didn't, thankfully, fortunately. But, you know, I think you assume this year that you're going to miss him for some time. But also, I've seen people saying, like, oh, he's gone. You know, like, he's done. He appears to be communicating with the police department. I assume he's been in touch with the Chiefs as well. So hopefully this is the beginning of a lesson learned for him.
Agreed. And, you know, I don't think he'll be gone unless something else is revealed that we don't know. And I don't want to speculate. Right. But when somebody leaves, like, so, okay, maybe you were speeding or maybe even you were drag racing and you get into an accident and then you leave the scene in the way that they left the scene, you can't help but wonder why are you leaving the scene? And those are questions that the police are going to ask. And again, maybe you're just scared. I don't know. I don't want to speculate because I know absolutely nothing about why those guys left the scene and why things were quiet for so long. That's all going to work itself out. But hopefully nothing worse comes out, or there was nothing else worse going on than what we know definitely happened, which is these guys made a bad decision, drove recklessly, put other people in danger, caused an accident and destruction of some property. And it seems like everybody's okay. Hopefully that's the end of it. But I agree with you. Like, he's going to miss games. And I'll be curious to see if the Chiefs impose their own suspension here in this one. and I think it would be wise if they did, because the NFL usually allows the legal process to play out unless there's something like really obvious, a video of somebody doing something terrible and like they can just act because they have all the details. Obviously there's a video of this. It's a car accident. We'll see what the NFL decides to do. But a lot, oftentimes they let part of the legal process play out. If that is happening, it may just be that he pleads guilty to what, you know, reckless driving and leaving the scene of an accident. And then this all gets wrapped up pretty quickly and it's for the start of the year. But if it doesn't, if there's more, the Chiefs would be wise to maybe give him a suspension, a two game suspension, or maybe even a 4-game suspension at the start of the year, because the NFL may take that into account later if they levy their own punishment, if he's already been punished for a certain number of games.
Yeah, it's possible. I'm not super familiar with the precedent there on if teams have done that sort of thing or not. One thing that I'll just say too is it does seem like he's kind of starting the path now of he's apologized a couple of times. He's accepted accountability. He's talking to the police department. I would assume that some of this is playing to the district attorney. You know, I've seen a lot of people on Twitter that think like Rashee Rice is going away to jail for a very long time. Some of my previous jobs, I've dealt with law enforcement and prosecuting and district attorneys a lot. You all would be shocked at the things that these people in big cities get away with these district attorneys. There's a lot of really, truly hardened criminals out there who serve very little jail time. So it appears that he's hired a very well plugged in public attorney or not a public attorney, but just an attorney. So I would anticipate the Rasheed Rice is not spending if any time in jail. He's get in and then he's bonded out almost immediately. I think the NFL could look at this one or two ways. You've got Frank Clark, who's got two felony gun charges, which we know how serious gun issues are in this country. And he basically missed two games. And you've got Willie Gay, who beats up a vacuum in a domestic dispute, and he gets more time. So with Rasheed Rice, it's anywhere from 0 to 16 games, because we all thought Tyreek Hill was never going to play another snap for this team back in 2019, and he ended up not getting any games. So who knows? When it comes to the NFL, it's just, you know, spin the bottle, I guess.
Yeah, you have the whole Deshaun Watson like fiasco, and it was like 6 games, and it's just there's no consistency in NFL punishment. So yeah, you might as well just flip a coin if you're trying to guess. But enough of that. Hopefully it all works itself out. He learns his lesson and doesn't put anybody in danger again, and can make the most of this incredible opportunity he has before him. All right, let's get into Price Carter's 7-round Chiefs mock draft. You're doing these like basically weekly, right, on the website?
Yeah. So I usually put one out on Sundays. I haven't been writing a super ton of them here a lot lately. I've been on some vacation, but I'll have one come out this week. I'm going to do a different one this Sunday. One thing about mock drafts is I see some people do mock drafts. First off, I encourage everyone to get involved in this. One, it makes the draft more entertaining. You get to know more about the players. You get a sense of who's going to be available when. These things are fairly accurate. And two, it also is a great exercise to just show you like how hard it is to trade up. What does it look like to trade down? How many times can you run the simulator and the guy you want be there? What do you do whenever the player's not there? Those type of things. All those strategies, those are all things that you can play with as you're doing it. For me, a lot of times what I try to do with these mock draft simulators is I try to look at different scenarios that could play out the actual night. So as much fun as it is to run it, 32 times and you get the one time that Marvin Harrison Jr. falls to you, it's probably just not going to happen that way, Yeah. So I try to be realistic and focus on what's happening. So in this instance, what I did here is try to look at what it would look like if the Chiefs didn't necessarily go super aggressive when it comes to the wide receiver position.
Yeah. And I agree with you. It is a great way to get involved, learn a little bit more when you watch the draft. Pro Football Focus, if you're not a subscriber, you can subscribe. Their draft mock draft simulator is really great. You could do it for this month. It's like $20-some-odd or something.
And there's some free ones too. I believe Pro Football Networks is free. The mock draft database is another one that's free as well. Their trade functionality isn't quite as savvy. Pro Football Focus has some built-in logic into like, hey, you can't trade a 7th for the number 1 overall pick type of thing. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. And you can start out with 1 or 2 rounds and then go all the way up to 7.
Yeah, absolutely. I got to play around with it a lot last year. I had fun. It's pretty advanced. So it's worth the flopping down about $20 or something if you want to know a little bit more about the draft and the prospects and how things might fall. We know it's impossible to predict how they will fall. All right, so let's get into it. Seven round mock draft from Price Carter. And the first round, we're going to reveal our pick. It is Darius Robinson, edge from Missouri. So that's going to be a familiar name to a lot of people. This is a guy, I was doing some research on him, Price. He met with 18 teams at the combine, edge rusher, premium position. Pro Football Focus graded you a B here. Why is he still available so late in this simulation? And what was your thinking here behind the pick?
First off, we don't acknowledge the Pro Football Focus grades because they're pretty accurate in the first couple of rounds, but in the later rounds, there's just some guys that they're going to have higher on their board than others. It's based off of Trevor Sikkema, his big board, which obviously respect his opinion, but it's just an opinion. So Darius Robinson, part of the reason why I have him here is it just comes down to ultimately the value that you're going to get at the position in that part of the draft. If you come in here and tell yourself, I have to get a wide receiver. The Bills are kind of a team to watch with this right now, where they've basically almost pigeonholed themselves into going wide receiver because of the need they've created with Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis both leaving. But you can't just, you know, go in here and say, I'm going to take whatever wide receiver is there, because you could end up getting a way worse player on your board based on the value there. Looking at this and why I decided to go Darius Robinson here, and you mentioned this, and this is part of what we'll get into about him too, is to me, he is one of the better players at his position that's going to be available for the Chiefs. Wide receiver here, to me, there's about four or five guys that I think are true wide receiver ones, someone who can really make a difference on this offense year one. Those guys, you know, most of them you already know. Marvin Harrison Jr., Rome Odunze, Malik Nabers. For me, I have Adonai Mitchell up there out of Texas as well. Just has a true profile that can be a wide receiver one. After that, you start getting into more some role players and some guys that are going to take some time. Tackles, I suspect there will be a huge run on tackles in this class. It's a very talented class, but there's a threshold there where at some point you're going to start getting players that aren't probably playing for you day one, that I would be more comfortable with them probably bringing back Donovan Smith, sniffing around Mekhi Becton, who's still a free agent. But Darius Robinson out of Missouri, he's listed as an edge, but he's actually an interior defensive lineman. He's that hybrid type. He's someone who could plug and play day one, and I think could make an impact on this defense, especially on the edge against the run. I think he's a ready day one run defender for this team. And I think that he would also really help relieve some of the stress of losing Charles Omenihu. He's super big and powerful. And you brought this up about all the interviews that he has. He's got really high football character. He obviously played here locally. Eli Drinkwitz, the coach of Missouri, speaks really highly of him. He was awarded the best practice player at the Senior Bowl by his peers and coaches, which is just a huge thing. This is where his stock really started to climb. If you line up his athletic profile next to Charles Omenihu, they're almost identical. So most of the time you're going to see his RAS score, relative athletic score. It's going to be posted as a defensive tackle because that's where it looks the best. Out on the edge, he's a pretty average athlete. Even if they bring back Mike Dana, though, I think that this would make a lot of sense. And, you know, just like I said, part of the reason why I think this makes sense here, the Chiefs have historically always went, I shouldn't even say the Chiefs, Andy Reid has historically went for the trenches at the first round. I think that this is the best value for the player that's there. It wouldn't surprise me if he's off the board here, but, you know, the Lions are a team I could see maybe being interested in him. He's a classic knee biter. I could see it. But if he's there, I think that you would feel the impact of him almost immediately on the team.
Yeah, you mentioned his length, 6'5", 285, 34.5-inch arms, 10 5/8-inch hands, according to NFL.com. They've got him graded as eventually being a plus starter. I think it's an interesting, he ran a 4.95 40. I think it's a compelling pick. As Lauren Shanks mentioned, going edge three years in a row for the Chiefs. Do you see that being a problem? Should they be looking at other position groups, or is this a, hey, we're going to take the absolute best player available? And as you mentioned, this might be a guy that can help us right away outside and in.
I think this is a really good point. I think you can't necessarily, obviously you're not going to like take quarterback three times in the first round. There's some positions that like only one guy can play. But whenever you factor in the fact that the Chiefs are basically picking in the second round every single year, right? Like their first round pick, it's 32, 31, 30. It's the last pick in the round, basically. The value there is just somewhat limited. First off, edge rushers are one of those positions that you can play multiple, right? Like there are scenarios, especially with Darius Robinson, that all three first round picks could be on the field at the same time with Chris Jones and have some sort of NASCAR package. It's completely possible. Also, when you're dealing with second round or first round edges, second round technically, you get a really good example of what it's like with George Karlaftis and Felix Anaduke-Uzomah. It's kind of a flip of a coin. I did a piece whenever Felix Anaduke-Uzomah was drafted talking about basically looking at the historical context of players taken after pick 25 at the edge rusher position over the last decade. You have your outliers like your TJ Watt, and you have a lot of really average to below average players that don't pan out. You know, edge rushers is a premium position. There's typically one taken in the first 10 picks. By the time the draft trickles around to where the Chiefs are picking at, there's not always a lot of value there. So they've gotten really good value with George Karlaftis. That's been a great pick for them. We're still optimistic about Felix Anaduke-Uzomah's ability. But yeah, I understand the concern of putting so much into a position, but also you got to keep in mind what's going to be happening in five, you know, next year after this off, the next offseason, you can start negotiating with George Karlaftis. He just had a 10 sack season. Are you going to be able to pay edge rushers? Probably not. So keep investing in an expensive position where there's value.
Yeah, and a guy that can play inside is kind of intriguing. The Chiefs have not been great against the run in recent years. You've got Chris Jones, who's another year older. You want to try to spell him as much as you can for key moments in games. So it's an intriguing option to be sure. All right, let's keep this thing moving. Let's get to pick number two from Price's mock draft. And a lot of people are saying we should go wide receiver in the first round. We should go tackle. We have, you know, who's playing left tackle for this team? I think it's a fair question. You went tackle with this pick. It's Patrick Paul, tackle, out of Houston. So there it is. The Chiefs go in Price's mock. Darius Robinson, which frankly is a little too close to DeMarcus Robinson for me, and then go with Patrick Paul, the tackle, out of Houston, which, again, hate to mention it, PFF didn't like it. C-. Talk me through this pick.
Well, yeah, this is where I feel like people are going to start getting their pitchforks and torches at me for not going wide receiver, but just stick with me. So Patrick Paul out of Houston, he's got unteachable size and length. He's 6'7", 331 pounds, did 30 reps on the bench press and posted a 9.7 relative athletic score, which means, you know, he's in the 97th percentile of tackle testing. This guy, when he gets off the bus, he will remind you in some ways of Orlando Brown with this size, but he's a much, you know, Orlando Brown has posted one of, part of that was due to how he trained, but he posted one of the worst combine performances of all time. This is not the case here with Patrick Paul. Very, very athletic, fluid mover. He's got 36 1/4 inch arms. He has a very consistent pass protection set that I would definitely say right now, pass protection is his strength. From Dane Brugger's reporting, he killed the interview process with several teams. The Chiefs met with him. I wrote about their meeting with him. He is also a first-generation Nigerian-American, so his family came over from Nigeria. He's a team captain. Really interesting guy. Like, he wants to get into politics after he's done playing football. His brother was drafted by the Washington Commanders. His older brother was as well. Some of the cons, he's a little bit older of a prospect. He played for 5 years, so he's going to be turning 24 this year. His footwork isn't always the most consistent. Like, sometimes he can't, similar to Orlando Brown, he can get beat around the edge by a speed rusher. And he doesn't have a big nasty streak as a run blocker. Sometimes he can bend at the waist there. And he doesn't always necessarily bring the fight to rushers. So sometimes he's waiting for them to come to him rather than him using those big long arms against them. Ultimately, here's the reason why I went with Patrick Paul here over some of the other receivers. I didn't necessarily love the receiver options that were available to me here. I was, you know, kind of hoping on some players like Troy Franklin to fall. I was also looking at some other players like maybe a Jermaine Burton out of Alabama, but all those guys were gone. I was mainly looking at Jalen McMillan, who is a slot only guy. I personally felt like we could get some value elsewhere in this draft. So I went with the developmental tackle. There's a little pocket here of guys that I like. Kyren Armagaji out of Yale, Patrick Paul and Roger Rosengarten out of Washington. These are kind of the last guys that I feel like could really play left tackle and be a starter at the NFL level. I don't think that the Chiefs are going to get a starting tackle unless they trade up in the first round. So get a developmental guy, sit him. You could easily here in a year be talking about Patrick Paul and Wanya Morris being your starting tackles with Wanya Morris being on the right side. So give Paul some time. I would still give Donovan Smith a call, even if you draft Paul. And when Donovan Smith gets hurt, which typically happens, you can try to give Patrick Paul a call or, you know, try to plug him in. And he just looks like an Andy Reid tackle as far as the size goes.
Do you think between the two, Wanya Morris and Paul, that Paul would be better as the left tackle and Morris over on the right side for Juwan Taylor?
Yeah. Paul's played left tackle exclusively. He's a team captain. So like, you know, a very, you know, vocal, outspoken leader on his team. And I think that he has the much more typical frame. You know, I was on a podcast this week and they asked me, what is the difference between a right and left tackle? At this point, I don't think it matters as much as it used to because teams move their best rushers around. Ultimately, I just think it matters where is a player most comfortable. Wanya Morris played right tackle pretty much his final couple years at Oklahoma. He played a little bit of left tackle when he was back at Tennessee. I think physically his kick step looked a little bit better on the right side when he was playing there in preseason. That's where I would profile Wanya Morris to have more success to be on the right side. So dream come true, Patrick Paul, Wanya Morris, you know, offensive tackles in the coming years.
All right. I like it. I'm concerned about the tackle position, so I don't mind this move and trust your evaluation here of a potential developmental prospect. Okay. Let's move on. Round three. And now we got a little action going on. The Chiefs make a trade in your mock draft. So we've got KC trading round three, pick 95 and a 2025 third rounder to the New York Jets for pick 72. And that, again, that's the Chiefs going from 95 to 72 because there was somebody GM Brett Price Carter Veach liked at 72 still available. And that is Javon Baker. Finally, we get our wide receiver out of UCF. Talk to me about Javon Baker, which, by the way, I have to mention this. I'm looking at your mock draft doing my prep today, and I'm like, Darius Robinson, DeMarcus Robinson, Javon Baker is making me think of Javon Belcher.
Let's not go down that road.
I know we don't want to go down that road, but I'm saying it's just sort of spooky, the similarities here. Like when I just glance at those names, being a longtime Chiefs fan, those are the names that I see when I see these names. But talk to me about Javon Baker, wide receiver, UCF.
So first off, let's talk a little bit just about the trade up and why we did this. So Javon Baker is, to me, a big cliff point in the wide receiver market. He's the last guy that I feel like you could look at as a potential wide receiver two, or someone who doesn't have a very, very specific role. There's some other guys I like on day three, or guys who might go really late day two, like a Malik Washington. But he's a guy that I think could truly, at his ceiling, being a wide receiver two. We target the Jets because the Jets have given up quite a few day two picks here recently with the Aaron Rodgers trade. They just traded for Hassan Reddick. In this instance, I also wanted to kind of model like the value of the L'Jarius Sneed trade. I know a lot of people look at that trade and go, oh, you could have just waited for a comp pick, even though comp picks aren't necessarily sure things. And another reason why that is a value is because you can't trade a comp pick that you don't have. Here, the Chiefs are able to trade their third round pick and Tennessee's third round pick next year for a move up in this instance to get a player that they would have never had a shot to, because the Jets are going to be picking at the top of the third round. So getting back up here in the high 70s, that's valuable for a team. Now, Javon Baker, he's a player. It's interesting. You see UCF next to his name, you think, oh, you know, this guy went to a small school. He's a former four-star recruit that was recruited by Alabama. He transferred his last two seasons to UCF to get more playing time. 6'1", 202 pounds, so very similar size-wise to Rashee Rice. He's a little bit different than some of the other guys I've mocked. He's kind of an average athlete. He's got a 7.71 RAS score. Most of that's going to be built into his like explosiveness and his speed, but also, you know, when we look at these things, I know we like a lot of our guys to have high athleticism scores, but Puka Nacua wasn't a great tester. And, you know, he's one of the best wide receivers in the NFL right now. He's had two really highly productive years at UCF. Another thing that I really like about him, he was the only guy in the offense. I go back to George Karloftis. Why is he good in the NFL? Part of the thing is like every defense that played Purdue, they started with how do we stop George Karloftis, because he's their one guy. Javon Baker is the one guy on that UCF offense really making an impact, and he still was highly productive. He can play inside or outside, but I do think that he is more of a traditional, you know, Z, Y receiver. He runs quality routes, and he's good at the catch point. He, high points the ball well. He's a good contested catcher. And one thing that I like about him, too, he's an above average run blocker down the field. He is willing to get his nose dirty there. That's something that the Chiefs have valued. Why is he available in the third round, right? All this sounds so good. Former Alabama guy, four-star. Why is he sitting here at the third round? Well, part of that is because of the straight line speed. He is not necessarily going to be a burner. This isn't a person that's necessarily going to take one to the house on a screen pass. Also, there have been some drop issues, which I feel like I say that about half this wide receiver class. I say it about Xavier Worthy, Troy Franklin, Keon Coleman. There's been several guys here who have drop issues, but those are probably the two marks against him. That and just, the limited like athletic frame. He's not necessarily the biggest guy to be an outside receiver. And then why? Baker can play the X or mix into the slot in a similar role to Rashee Rice. Whether Rashee Rice is on the field or off the field, as we talked about earlier, he brings a skill set the Chiefs currently don't have. So he pairs really nicely with Hollywood Brown, with Travis Kelce. You can still run Rashee Rice out of the slot. There's a role for all those guys to be on the field. And I really would like his ability, if he had some time, maybe if Rashee Rice was suspended the first couple of weeks, to start mixing into the passing game.
So at that point, you know, you're looking at a wide receiver 3-4 prospect. You just can't get, you know, you might strike gold later in the draft with receivers. It happens all the time. But in your view, if there's not a top guy available for the Chiefs in the first round, if they can't move up, this is a nice pack of the room with young upside talent behind the star receivers that you already have kind of move.
Yeah, I honestly, like, if I'm doing kind of a role-ish that I could see him having, it's kind of like a Josh Reynolds, where like he just does a lot of things pretty well. And that's a player that I know the Chiefs has expressed some interest in. I think he could be kind of T. Higgins-ish. I think T. Higgins is a little bit bigger than him, but that's what I see. And, you know, like I said, after those first five guys in the first round, I really think you're starting to pick a player, while there are lots of really good wide receivers in this class, I think you're starting to pick a player that is more role-specific. You know, Xavier Worthy is a guy that a lot of people really like because he's super fast. Well, you can also go find other fast guys in the draft, who do similar things. Like I mentioned, Jermaine Burton, he's very fast. Troy Franklin, he's very fast. There's a lot of guys that can do those type of things for you. So at that point, you just got to kind of pick your spot and what role you need. Baker fills a role that the Chiefs currently don't have.
All right. So they get a wide receiver, they get edge, they get a tackle, all positions of need for the Chiefs. Now things sort of open up a little bit. So let's go to round four, and it's Christian Baker, defensive lineman from Northern Iowa. I don't know much about this guy. Talk me through this one.
So Christian Boyd out of Northern Iowa, he's a local guy, graduated from Blue Springs High School. He actually has a Kansas City Chiefs tattoo on his neck. The Chiefs have reportedly met with him as well. So he's a guy who would love to be drafted by the Chiefs. Northern Iowa has had this history of generating some really big, like, athletic freaks in the trenches. The right tackle from the Bills is also a Northern Iowa alumni. They just have a really good strength and training program. But he was a standout at the Shrine Bowl, one of the most dominant players at the Shrine Bowl. It was really surprising he didn't get a combine invite. There's a lot of people really upset by that. When you look at Boyd, he's got a really big, explosive first step, and he's kind of just like country strong. Like, there's a lot of situations that you look at him when he's playing and his raw strength just stands out to you. He does have some pass rush ability, which a lot of day two defensive tackles don't, or day three, I should say. But most of that comes from just being explosive at the first step. There were several times you watch him that he was just man amongst boys. Part of that is due to the level of competition. Northern Iowa obviously isn't the biggest school, not the SEC. Another knock on him is he's a little bit older of a prospect. He's going to be turning 23 or 24 this year, I believe. And there are some times that if he gets double teamed, that he's not going to be able to shed those type of double teams. Honestly, when I see him, I kind of see a little bit of like Colin Saunders, like the type of role and type of player where it was, where you've got, he's bigger than Colin Saunders. Colin Saunders was pretty short. He's 6'2", 320 pounds. So not quite the little bowling ball that Saunders was. But where you're getting speed and explosiveness from the interior, gap shooting, we really saw Saunders kind of come into his own in his contract year here. But it took a little bit. There was some time that, you know, wasn't even sure if he was going to make the team. But I do think that he brings something different to the nose tackle, like one tech position that the Chiefs don't really have right now. They've got some, you know, bigger bodies like Pinnell, like Neil Farrell, who are going to be just straight run stoppers and cloggers. Boyd brings a level of explosiveness that they don't really have at the position.
Yeah, and my bad. I said Baker, which I just got myself confused when I was doing the outline. I think the Chiefs need to pay some attention to their defensive interior. This is a great place, I think, in the draft to do it. And kind of maybe a guy that's a little, I mean, it's hard to be under the radar when you're a potential NFL prospect, but to not have received an invite to the combine, that I found somewhat surprising, especially with you looking at him, you know, kind of in the middle rounds here. So that's the fourth round pick. So now that, you know, your Chiefs, a lot of needs being dealt with in Price's mock here. They got a tackle, they got an edge, they got defensive interior, you got a wide receiver. So where do we go in round five? Is it take the best player available? Let's see. And it's a Big Ten guy, Zach Zintner, a guard out of Michigan. Obviously, the Chiefs have Trey Smith's contract is going to be coming up. They've got to worry about what they're going to do with Creed Humphrey. So the Chiefs go, Price has the Chiefs go on guard here. This is an interesting one to me because, you know, these Michigan guys that were brought in by Jim Harbaugh, he liked nasty guys that could get out there and run block. Is that a strength of Mr. Zintner here?
Yeah. So Zach Zintner, he fits that profile very well. Honestly, he's kind of unique when you look at his size. He's 6 foot five, which is pretty big for a guard. He honestly has kind of tackle like frame. He's mixed in at tackle occasionally in his earlier years before he kind of settled into being a full time guard. But like you brought it up, he run blocking is something that he excels at. They loved getting him on the move in the run game, pulling and trapping to be able to, you know, help with that dynamic run game that Michigan has. Going back to kind of the need here, the Chiefs right now, they lost Nick Allegretti. We don't really know what they think of Mike Caliendo, who's right now their primary backup interior offensive lineman. But there's a definite need here. Zinter, he broke his tibia, like all great men do, like myself, right before the college football playoffs. So he actually didn't get to play in those championship games, unfortunately. But he's a player that makes some sense. They have a definite need there. He was one of the leaders on the offensive line. They've lost some talent on that offensive line over the last couple of years. He is one of the consistents of that, you know, championship run. Honestly, I could see him being available here. I could see him going a lot earlier. The one thing that's like kind of the knock on him is just that his frame is a little bit bigger. That's a concern just for some guards because he's so tall. That can bother, like, you know, if you got someone like Bryce Young that he's trying to block for, that's an issue. And also that kind of leads to him being a waistbender a little bit. And then he's not the most explosive out in space. I'm not sure he's tested. I know he didn't test at the combine because of his tibia. I'm not sure if he's tested yet. So we'll see what that looks like. But I like this. This is a spot that I would really like to see the Chiefs go interior offensive line. There's some other names like Tanner Bordolini, Dominic Pooney, I think might be gone by now, Javon Foster, all those guys. Those are some guys who have some tackle versatility as well. But I think it's a bigger need than Chiefs fans want to recognize because there is a realistic scenario that they could have three free agents along the interior offensive line next year.
Yeah, you got to keep that pipeline going. And I think these are spots where I feel like the interior offensive line spots are always weird because you'll have the occasional guy that goes real. It's very highly touted and goes early in the draft. But we've seen it over and over again with the Chiefs, like often can find diamonds in the rough, good starting quality interior offensive linemen at almost all levels of the draft. And I don't know if it's because teams, it's not the sexiest position, right? You want to blow a high draft pick on a guard or a center maybe. And so sometimes you can find some really good players in the back end of the draft. And I think a pick like this, if he were to come in and look, you can't keep everybody. I'd love it if the Chiefs were able to keep Trey Smith. He's a great story, but they can't keep everybody. And if you're deciding between Creed Humphrey or Trey Smith, with all due respect to Trey, I think I want to keep Creed Humphrey. I think I want to keep Patrick Mahomes center, who's been an all pro, who, you know, could potentially find himself on a Hall of Fame trajectory if he stays for a really long time and continues to rack up great seasons. So, you know, you gotta find some cheap guys that you can replace, maybe replace a Trey Smith or a Joe Tooney with.
Yeah. And at this point, center is the cheaper contract. You've got Robert Hunt getting $100 million. It's the more affordable spot right now. So Zinter, I don't think he has any center ability. He's definitely going to be a guard. So there's that as well. But, you know, like you mentioned, there's two spots that he might mix into. And if, like, in this realm of the draft, if he comes in and is Nick Allegretti, it's a fantastic pick. That's exactly what you want.
Yeah. If he starts, it's another Brett Veach special, but if he can be that swing guard for you, it's a backup, that'll work as well. All right. We got one more to go here. It's the seventh round. I actually was just watching Nate Taylor on 610 Sports, I think. And he was talking about, he thinks the Chiefs might, and you know, he's really tapped in, they might want to get out of the seventh round completely, because obviously you're picking at the very back and they may just want to get out so that they can start calling those undrafted free agents, because there's this like race to get these guys. Richard said, did I skip the sixth round pick?
Yeah, there's a sixth and seventh.
Oh, my bad. Sorry. My bad. Outlines of shambles. All right. First, we're going to do the fifth round pick, and then we'll talk about the seventh round pick and what I was talking about with Nate Taylor. And this is one that the Pro Football Focus grades. This is a grade you like. This is an A plus you got for this one. Out of Purdue, it's a round five, pick 173. It's a running back. Tyrone Tracy out of Purdue, where you got an A plus for this one. So we're Clyde Edwards-Helaire is back. Is this a move the Chiefs still need to make, you think, behind Pacheco?
I'm rooting for this partially because I think with this combined with Clyde and Pacheco and how unique of a runner Pacheco is, and then mix in Luis Arizmendi or whatever his name is, the rugby player, like one of the most unique running back rooms in the NFL. Part of the reason why is because Tyrone Tracy is a converted wide receiver to running back. When he went to Iowa, they converted him from wide receiver to running back. And now he's an elite athlete at the running back position, a 98 percentile athlete with a 4.48 40 yard dash. He's going to be a zone run guy, which is something that I like for the Chiefs as well. Right now, you know, Pacheco, CH, they're more of the gap guys. Tyrone Tracy is the guy that you're going to want on the outside. He's not going to be a big bruiser between the tackles. He's 5'11", 209 pounds. He's bulked up some from moving from wide receiver to running back, but he's got above average short area quickness, good change of direction, and obviously the hands. The hands are really good. He's a strong route runner because of that wide receiver background. Like I said, he's not a big bruiser, so he's going to go down on first contact usually. But this is a really unique player that I think fills a really unique role. Pass protection, I just get used to saying this. It's more of a given with running backs coming out of college that they're going to need some work in pass protection. But I will say, like, as far as ceiling of a player, if he can bring that receiving prowess that he had at Purdue to the Chiefs, I think it would be huge.
Yeah. And again, apologies for me for just completely botching this whole sequence. One, skipping over and going to a seventh round pick and calling this one a sixth round pick. It's a fifth round compensatory pick that the Chiefs have and that Price has Tyrone Tracy going in that spot. So that's pick 173. Geez, I like to think that I'm already preparing myself to be a dad and have a newborn, and that's what's going on here. My brain is getting foggy. Not very sharp.
and to kind of mention, you know, what you were talking about a little bit too, this class is really top heavy. Part of that is if you're a player who is close to being able to be drafted in the NFL, you're probably going to go because you know you're going to get drafted. If you're a player who's on the fringe, well, that means you're a good player, a good college player, but there's some NIL reasons to stick around in college. That and the transfer portal, there's less and less kids entering that are kind of really good day two values. So, I'm all about like trying to get up in the draft this time. There's been some years, like some people pointed to the Bills having a bunch of day three picks and being like, oh, wow, they could really, you know, reset their team if they hit on these picks. But it's going to be a lot harder in this class.
All right. This time it's for real. Seventh round pick. So maybe the Chiefs do want – it's 221, so maybe the Chiefs do just kind of want to get out of the seventh round and get to work on getting those priority undrafted free agents and calling them up and saying, hey, you know, if you don't get drafted, come to Kansas City. But if they do make a pick, Price has them going linebacker out of Kentucky, Trevon Wallace.
Trevon Wallace is 6'1", 237 pounds, 93% athlete. He was on a pretty special list that comes out every year. It's Bruce Feldman. He puts together his freaks list, which are basically some reporting that he does. It's a really big list. It's got like 60 guys on it. But he talks to college programs all across the country and basically puts together some of the biggest athletic freaks in the country. Trevon Wallace was 14th on that list, which is pretty high. He won a state weightlifting championship in high school. He's with a 335-pound power clean. He's been clocked at 22 miles per hour on the GPS. Vertical jumps 38 and a half inches. This guy, he is an athletic ball of clay. He's a very young prospect. Well, he's going to be turning 21 in April this month. Wow. And he's got plus special teams ability. He's very fast, but with all that comes, he's pretty raw. He has the ability in coverage because of how quick and how fast he is, but the refined parts of coverage, he still struggles with. Ideally, he could at one time be able to go and cover running backs and tight ends as a linebacker. But with that speed, he can also play himself out of position at times. He's not the most cerebral player at this point. Right now, he is basically go chase, go tackle. That other part, the refined part of being a linebacker, he's still got some work to do. And he can, again, some of that speed, it'll lead him to some missed tackles. But why? Who does this player sound exactly like, just taken much later? Willie Gay. right? Willie, he sounds a lot like Willie Gay. Yeah. So this is the type of player that they took there. If anything, he can come in and just be Dorian O'Daniel. He's bigger than Dorian O'Daniel. He's not this safety tweener like he was, but O'Daniel was a solid pick because he was a special teams ace. He never really developed into that defensive player we wanted him to be. But this is a player that you're betting on the youth. You're betting on the athleticism. Linebacker is one of those positions too. Just take an athlete, someone who's got the capability, and teach them to play the position as they go.
And this is a team that, in the Chiefs, that just took a rugby player, and you're looking at these new kickoff rules and thinking about that. How much of an impact could a guy like this have in Dave Tobe's special teams unit in this new kickoff play where it's like, it's almost like a running play. It's like kind of like a running play. It's very different than the way that I've been watching the XFL footage. And in a lot of ways, like the receiving team turns around and runs backwards and sort of tries to set up a block. How would he impact a play like that?
Yeah, I do think that getting the bigger bodies out there is going to be a part of what they're going to do. I do think that you could see, especially linebackers, there could be a slight lean more back to those players. I think this is going to be a very living, breathing type of development in the league here. I think at first they'll probably be very conservative with the plays and how they do them. Over time, you'll start to see teams trying to do some more things like putting two returners back, having the option to maybe lateral it or hand it off to each other. But I think like you're going to want bigger players because speed isn't as important here. I know some of the Eric Galco, who's kind of helped with some of the XFL's UFL project that set this up, he talked about that some of the UFL teams have even tried running like gap and power blocking schemes for the kickoffs, compared it much more to like a running back play than a wide receiver play. So since you don't have that big running start, bigger bodies are going to matter.
It's going to be fascinating, man. I'm really excited to see it get implemented. It's a play that used to be fun, and then the NFL just made a formality that pretty much had no impact on the game. And now it's back to being something really compelling and interesting. And I'm sure it'll be a lot of complaining and holding calls and, you know, but it's always fun to have a new wrinkle in the game. So this is Price's 7-round Chiefs mock draft. Are you going to have another one coming out next week?
Yep. I'll have one coming out on Sunday. I haven't done it yet. I'll do it tomorrow. Not only was I home with my newborn, I'm also home with my 3-year-old who's napping right now because he got sent home sick from daycare. So didn't get to writing it today. Today was just survival mode, but I'll get to it tomorrow.
You made it, man. You did a podcast as well. And listen, Price, we're going to be doing a draft show. The decision has already been made. First round of the NFL draft. We still got to work out all the details, but I'm pretty sure we're going to be going wire to wire. So you're gonna get a lot of me on draft night because we got to wait all the way, thankfully, till pick number 32, maybe, for the Chiefs to make their selection. Price is going to be involved. Some of the other guys from the AA pod, some of the other people from around FanSided, we're going to walk you through the entire draft. So make sure. So there'll be no afternoon show that day because we'll be live for the draft. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Price, thank you, as always, for dropping by, dropping your draft wisdom on us. And make sure you head over to arrowheadaddict.com, check out all of Price's work, check out his big board. It's right there on the front page of the site. And you can educate yourself a little bit on who some of these top players are in Price's eyes ahead of the draft. How big of a draft do you think this is going to be for the Chiefs if they can nail it?
It's tough because you look at, I don't know, like, any one draft can be transformational, right? There's been drafts, like there was a Saints one a couple of years ago that they just like took like two or three all pros and it can change the trajectory of a whole team. I think the one thing here is with the Chiefs is that they are really looking for that true superstar, like left tackle or wide receiver. If they could fill one of those holes this year and get a dude at wide receiver, we like Rashee Rice. He's still got ascension to go, right? Still got development to go. So we'll see where he ends up as a player. But I do think like they get another superstar at one of those positions, or at least, you know, an above average left tackle. I think that can make a big difference because the years with Kelce and Chris Jones, they're not going to be here forever. So you need to start bridging that gap. So building that offense around here, I mean, you know, look at like what the Bengals have done on their offense, right? They had a guy with Tyler Boyd. Then they had back-to-back, you know, not, I don't think it was back to back, but they had years where they got T. Higgins at pick 33 and then they got Ja'Marr Chase and boom, now you have just this insane offense, right? So yeah, it can happen quickly.
Yeah. Real quick before we go, if there's one guy, if you, the Chiefs get one guy on your mock draft here, who do you want it to be?
It's tough. I know this sounds really bad because these are some of the later players, but man, I would really like to see Trevon Wallace on this team just because like the risk is so low, right? Like if Trevon Wallace doesn't pan out, meh, he's a seventh round pick. No one cares, but the upside is there, right? All the things that you look for in a player are there. Those are the gambles you like to see them take. The Chiefs have done this before where they've taken these kind of big athletic players in the later rounds and just gamble on them and see what happens. Right. Yeah. So as fun as it would be to have Darius Robinson here, or those type of players, that would be a pick I'd really like to see happen because it just makes too much sense.
You nail one of those late round picks, man. It is a huge boon because you don't expect all of those to work out. So awesome. Well, thank you, Price, for dropping by. This was a great show. We got to get out of here. We know we went a little bit long, but appreciate you. Appreciate Samantha Woj for dropping by, getting to see her incredible artwork. Make sure you head over to her website. All the links in the description. And thank you to my guy, producer Richard, without whom there would be no show, for getting the graphics ready, for telling me when I'm screwing up and getting names wrong and skipping draft picks, all that stuff. Thank you to Richard. We will be back, everybody, next week, unless the Chiefs do something crazy over the weekend, then we might have an emergency pod. Oh, and by the way, if you're a subscriber to Matt Verderam's show, the Matt Verderam Show, I will be on that at 8 o'clock tonight for about 20 minutes. So make sure you tune in. I don't know if he does it live. I don't know what's going on. It's my first time being on a show, but check it out if you want some more Chiefs content this evening, but we'll see you guys next week. Thank you again for all of your support. Until next week, as always, go Chiefs.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.